Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Well, hello, bitches. Welcome to another episode of the Video Nasty Project, a cavalcade of movies that are so sick and depraved that the DPP would think you would freak out and become demented, which is the name of the movie we're watching tonight. Let's check out the trailer, and we'll be back in a second.
They trapped Linda Rogers, brutally raped her, and left her mind demented. Linda will never be completely sane again.
Yeah, that should help.
Will it knock me out?
No, just calm you down.
I sure hope so.
Now, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right.
Well, that's debatable. It's all been like a bad dream.
Well, that's probably exactly what it was.
Linda's unfaithful husband found his pleasures elsewhere.
Make it tonight. I just brought my wife back from the hospital.
Her mental condition was in serious jeopardy, and no one was giving her the help she needed. She was having nightmares, the same horrible dream, night after night, until she couldn't distinguish it from reality. Her nightmares chased her, and chased her, and chased her. Rogers left his wife alone often to be in his lover's arms. And those times alone were filled with sick, horrible illusions. She couldn't take it any longer. She became demented. She got rid of her nightmares, one at a time.
You're never gonna hurt me again. You can go
now. Revenge is sweet and deadly. She was demented.
And that was the trailer to Demented. So this movie is basically I Spit on Your Grave, except on Quaaludes. It's a rape revenge movie, but it doesn't actually have any revenge in it. It just has the rape and the aftermath.
While she is avenging what has happened to her, it's directed at another group of people entirely. Which isn't explained well either.
Yeah. No.
So you've got Linda, who is one day tending to her horses, I assume, and she's in the stable, and then all of a sudden, a bunch of dudes just come out of nowhere, chase her into the stable, and then rape the fuck out of her. And the problem is that you know absolutely nothing about it. There's no context, there's no... What the hell's going on? Who are these people? Aside from bad dudes in stocking masks, who is this person that they're attacking? There's nothing to it.
there's certain stories or subjects for a story where you can do that. And then you can, through flashbacks, tell us who the person is prior to their becoming a victim. This writer, this guy doesn't do that.
And so we pick up with Linda getting out of the sanitarium a X amount of time down the road a little bit. The guys that have raped her have been caught, and they're in prison and serving their time, and she comes out of the sanitarium, and it is this story about her rebuilding her life and getting her feet under her and basically coping with this really, really horrific, terrible thing that has happened to her. Meanwhile, her husband, played by Harry Reams...
Harry Reams is a prolific porn actor from the 1970s and early 80s. He has the prestige of having been in the movies Deep Throat and The Devil in Miss Jones. That's who this guy is.
If you're going to know any porn actors, you're going to know three. You're going to know Harry Reams, you're going to know Ron Jeremy, and you're going to know John Holmes.
Yeah.
So he is the only star in this movie of any note that you'll say, hey, I know that dude, and you have to have a very specific bulk of knowledge to know who the hell Harry Reams is. Yeah. That would apparently be us.
Yeah.
Please, continue.
Okay, so... the frustration with the way this movie opens. The guy's a smarmy asshole. Okay, fine. The husband's a jerk. And then immediately it's displayed... not immediately, but after a couple of moments of showing interaction that is supposed to be building our sympathy for her, which doesn't work, immediately, oh, he has a girl on the side. He's having an affair. And there's nothing that really sets up why is he having an affair.
The only purpose that subplot serves is so that it establishes Harry Reams as a selfish dick.
Yeah.
And that's the only point of that whole subplot.
It makes you look at him with no sympathy whatsoever. If he was a more ordinary guy, who just basically any other type of dude who wasn't having an affair, you would sympathize with him. Because there he is with his wife, she's freaking out all the time. He's and they actually demonstrate that he's trying to help. He's completely ineffective at it, and the fact that he's off either at work or at work does not help, but he actually does care for her to some degree.
And that's the main problem with the movie, that with I Spit in Your Grave, you spend the first 20 or 25 minutes getting to know Jennifer, and here it kicks off with the rape. You know nothing other than when she's crazy, and that doesn't work.
That's where the really hardcore reality, I mean, it's obvious that this guy spent the time to research how rape victims behave post-trauma and how the people around them behave. Because the arc, there's different archetypes of the individuals. Mm-hmm. And at the same time that she's not wanting him anywhere near her, she also is wanting to know why he isn't there for her. Because that's a duality that exists genuinely. There's a really good job showing that, all of that, but it serves no purpose to the story when your whole point is she's supposed to go nuts. I mean, it's telegraphed to everybody in the audience. The trailer does it. Everything does it. She's going to go on a murderous mayhem spree.
And you're right. They have all the secondary characters, all supporting cast, are basically the archetypes of what people react to rape as. So you have the dismissive husband. You have the kind of clingy person. You've got the sister, which really is trying to understand, but she's never been in this position, so she can't understand.
To touch upon what's going on between the sisters, there's a presentation of there's something about the sister that she doesn't like. It's an ongoing family thing. It's not it's nothing from the trauma she's experienced, and she's not wanting to have someone close to her. She wants someone to be close to her. She wants that someone to be her husband. The thing is the sister, I can't deal with her right now. Okay, there's a family history. What makes the sister a problem?
Linda is very, you don't understand what I'm going through. Get out of my life. And off she goes. Yeah. So there is a layer of realism to it, but it's not presented in a satisfying way.
After a certain period of the movie, I didn't sympathize with Linda at all because of the way she was reacting to her husband, to her sister, to the neighbor doctor, to the neighbor kid. I mean, all of the ways she was reacting to them and interacting with them just made her seem like a shrill harpy.
Exactly. That's flaw number two of the movie, that you are not sympathetic to any of the characters, particularly Linda, the victim, as at the emotional core of the movie.
There's a very real and genuine depiction of what a rape victim goes through post-trauma. And the interaction, it's been said, and we'll say it again, because some people, I have a feeling, are going to need to hear that again. Okay, we understand. We know what goes on with the people around a rape victim. We know what a rape victim is going through. We don't need it hammered into us. Why didn't you spend the time to actually introduce us to characters and how they interact with one another before the trauma?
And you might have gotten away with maybe doing straight from the rape and into her trauma afterwards if it had been a stronger actress. And that's flaw number three of the movie, where the acting is fucking abysmal on pretty much all fronts. She was this... All she was is this shrieky, squeaky, unpleasant actress. Harry Reams, okay, his talent is jizzing on command. So not really expecting a lot from him, but he was really wooden. Everybody was just terrible in this movie.
Well, let's look at their backgrounds before we actually criticize what's going on in front of the camera. I'm not doing this to defend them. I'm pointing out that, and I'm going to use a scene specifically to demonstrate where the problem lies. All of the people involved in this film are theater, stage play actors, people who produce stage plays. That's their experience. And there's a transition. There's a difference in how you present a stage play and how you make a movie. And this guy didn't adjust. And the scene that's the problem is the dinner scene with the sister. It's set up, wide shot, lock the camera down, and just run the dialogue. You can't see the sister. Her chair is facing the back of the chair is facing the camera. So you can't see her. You can't identify with her. You don't know what she's going through other than you can hear her voice. Okay, granted, radio plays of yesteryear, you learned all of that, but it was always over the top in the necessary fashion for you to interpret what was happening, and that doesn't happen here.
The thing is, I kind of like the staging of that because you have this one wide shot in this massive dinner table, and Linda's on one side and Harry Reams at the other, and the sister's in the smack in the middle. And there's this balance of, okay, both sides of the argument, and the sister is in the middle trying to mediate. But you're right, flip her around so she's 180 degrees, put her on the other side of the table, and that would have been just as ineffective.
But then even with that, they break their own rules. Because in a stage play, you're supposed to see the performer's face. It's called blocking, cheating to the audience so that the audience can see you. You use your upstage hand when you're making gestures. Even if upstage is to the left of you and your left hand is not your dominant hand,
do it anyway.
For the purpose of the move, for the play, it becomes your dominant hand. There's no that's forgotten when they make this film.
All right, so let's move on to the second half of the movie. So the first 40 minutes or so is this character study of her descent into madness. And all throughout, she has been having hallucinations of the attack. She's looking in the mirror and she sees one of the attackers behind her and she freaks out and Harry Reams comes in and consoles her. And then we are introduced to the neighborhood kids, a bunch of teenagers, three teenagers that are hanging out in the neighborhood. They're playing basketball and she goes out to get the mail and she interacts with them a little bit. And one of them goes, "Hey man, are you trying to get me in fucking trouble? Knock that shit off." Because they're, you know, typically aggressive teenagers or playful.
And the one who says knock this off is her next door neighbor, Mark.
As she falls apart and is trying to desperately hang on to her sanity, the neighborhood kids start fucking with her. And they break into her house one time, and she runs and hides in, like, the laundry room, and, you know, they're banging on the door, "Let us in, come warriors, come out and play." And she collapses. But then, a little bit down the road, they come back for round two. And one of them sneaks in and, like, climbs into her bedroom and, like, starts dry humping her. But at this point, she's all, like, she's had enough. She's had, like, a butcher knife under the covers.
She's got the cleaver.
And she starts going to town. And that's where the movie fulfills the demented part of the title.
I don't think this is applicable, but it's almost like, okay, he's conceived the deaths. I'm now going to write how each one of her victims dies. I'm now going to write and patch the deaths together.
The problem with the kids coming in is that, A, there's no motivation other than, hey, we're a bunch of stupid teenagers. Let's go fuck with the girl who got raped. There's no character to them. We only see them one time before. We see them when they're playing basketball. And then they fall off the map until they show up at the end and start dry humping her in her bed.
Is this supposed to be a message from the writer that men are assholes? I mean, there's little things. Are there hidden messages in this film? That's the only conceivable reason I can come up with if that's the deliberate delivery that was done. It's guys are insensitive. Is that what he was intending? Or is it just a badly written film?
There is one male character who's sympathetic and genuinely nice. The other doctor. I actually liked this guy. He's the one character I genuinely wanted to know more about.
Yeah. That did go in a direction where it's like, okay, then once the doctor is gone at that point,
he just disappears. He falls off the map.
Yeah.
This movie could have desperately stood a David Hess. If they had gotten somebody like him in this, somebody compelling and interesting and strong as either the bad guys or a supporting good guy, then it would have been huge. But no, they didn't even give us that.
I'd like to point out in regards to our lead actress is that she's in everything up to becoming demented. Prior to that, it is weak acting. The substance is problematic. But once she's nuts, she does nuts really well.
I just had the problem with the pitch that she was delivering all her lines at. It was just so squeaky and shrill and fingers on nails on a chalkboard that I like, shut up, please, just shut up.
Yeah.
I think that she would have really benefited from having a dialogue coach or just some additional voice lessons.
One of the things that I can, in thinking back, is that socially or society, how the different as eras come and go, women adopt and affect mannerisms in their speech. So every once in a while, you encounter somebody and it's like, oh my God, you're talking like an 80s valley girl. It sounded really stupid back in the 80s. What I'd like to know is how the hell are you talking like that now? And we're 2 decades into the 21st century. What? But that might be part of why she was delivering her dialogue that way, is some actors, all they do is they simply turn up or turn down the volume on their own behavior.
Well, you know what the problem with her was that she was a model who graduated into acting, and this is very early on in her career, so she didn't have any thespian talents to draw upon because she looked pretty and it obviously shows. That's her main skill.
Ah.
Okay, I did not realize she didn't was a model beforehand.
Because I didn't really dig into much of the background on any of the actors this time around. I just went off of the filmmaker says, everybody in this film are theater students.
So now that we know she's a model previously, her lack of voice ability makes perfect sense.
Yeah, the only real established actor in the entire movie was Harry Reams. And when your big star is a porno actor, you know you're in a world of trouble.
Oh, there's so many things that I would love to have seen they do with this film.
Mm-hmm.
First 15 minutes is just, let's give us a couple of days in the life of these people. Then she becomes a victim. Then let us see what normal is for these people.
So, what did you guys think of the ending of the movie?
I would have personally really rather have seen that he said, the husband says, look, I promise you, he's genuinely at the hospital. Look, I'll call you at 9 o'clock. Good, you know, say goodnight, da 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 da. Calls at 9 o'clock. No, she doesn't answer the phone. Fuck, what's going on? I know. I'll call the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Have him go and do a check. So he shows up at the same time that the police have shown up doing a wellness check. Da da da. Well, I have a key. The doctor says, hey, I have a key or whatever. Opens the door. They go in and they find her. She's taken all her victims and she's propped them up and they're sitting around the table and she's sitting there covered in blood and goes, hi, doctor, I think I'm better now. And the cop, the two cops are like,
that would have been much better.
Movie ends.
Fuck, we know we need to remake this movie and use that ending because that is 100% better than what we get at the end of this. Okay, admittedly, Harry Reams desperately needed to have his comeuppance, so we needed that sort of release. But yeah, we didn't need to end on that.
Yeah. Harry Reams is a straight actor? he did this apparently. Let's go. Oh my God. Don't waste your time.
The Devil and Miss Jones is a much better movie. Go watch that instead. We're not reviewing that.
No.
So I'm about to ask you, was it seaworthy or do you leave the shopkeeper keep it?
A lot of the nasty elements in this movie are comparatively tame. But, I mean, there are some nasty elements in it. But, I mean, the gore is pretty low-key. The violence is, well, it's there, but it's not exactly what I'd consider too particularly intense.
Would you leave it alone or would you seize it?
I'd leave it alone. I mean, okay, there's some nudity just because, let's put some nudity in.
It's not intense like Last House on the Left or I Spit on Your Grave. It's not really, even the violence when she freaks out and goes crazy with the butcher knife isn't as bad as, like, Dead Kids.
It does have a few moments where you're like, ooh, you know, but then again, this is kind of par for the course for the genre.
All right, so we'd leave it alone because there's nothing offensive in it at all. So, shopkeeper, keep your tapes. Ian, did you like Demented?
To put it simply, no, I don't like it as a film. It's...
The frustrating thing about it is that it's, at its core, has a nugget of a good idea. It's just so poorly executed that it's like, oh, with a little more care and polish and love, this could have been pretty good.
I think what really drives my not liking it is... When a filmmaker goes into making a film and doesn't know what they're doing and at least in some form acknowledges, okay, I'm new at this. My feel, though, based on how well mechanically it's done, it evident that he wasn't admitting that he didn't know what he was doing.
So, Brad, did you like Demented?
I really didn't like a lot of the primary characters. I mean, okay, admittedly, I had a great deal of sympathy for the female lead because she is in a really hard circumstance. And I mean, it had a really good hook at the beginning, and then it just kind of lost it, and the fish got away.
The last 20 minutes is pretty strong. I'll give the movie that.
Okay, yeah.
When things are happening, when the movie kicks off, that's when the movie gets going. So I'll give the movie the last 20 minutes. But, yeah otherwise, no.
It also was disappointing that some of the secondary characters I found to be more interesting than the primary ones, and I wanted to see more of them and more of their interaction with the primary characters. And they failed to deliver on that. Admittedly, we are dealing with secondary characters, but still, I actually liked the doctor who came by and visited periodically, who was an associate of the main female, of the main male lead. He was interesting. I liked him.
And he only shows up in like one or two scenes, and that's it.
I enjoyed the fact that the director actually did his homework with how women act after they are raped. I mean, the fact that she's engaging with her husband and he wants to hug her and she's kind of shrugging him off, that is very realistic.
As a character study of somebody recovering from a rape, then yes, okay, this movie has some strong points. However, it fails to deliver a satisfying story, and that, when you're doing a work of fiction, is paramount.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you there.
All right, so we're going to give it two no's and a, okay, you could do worse. So that's Demented for you. Go skip it, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll catch you later.
Music to the ears of the hungry. The sizzle of a mouth-watering hamburger. Fresh, lean beef, done to a golden brown, couched in a soft bun, and garnished to taste. Man, that's hunger heaven. And you'll feel like you're heaven sent when you get one at our refreshment stand.
All right, that's it for Demented. Back on the shelf. Next week, we're going to be watching another motherfucking Jess Franco movie. My God, how many people did he offend with his body work? That's like, what, 5, 6 that he's had on the list so far? And we're not done, because we're going to be watching The Devils. So join us again here next week, if you dare, and catch us again. Till that time, stay evil.